Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here. Time for your listener questions. A little Q&A today here on your Wednesday, including a great question from Doug about room sizes. He's just looking for the most amount of square feet in a deluxe resort. They've got a family of five, and they want to have as much room as possible, so we'll talk about that here in just a second. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style, and right now as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, Hey, we're down to 38 days to go till we check out Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios. We're going to be there for the 4th of July and more. I get excited every time I send a text, place a phone call, or post to social media each and every morning right after my run. I'm excited because I'm one day closer to my favorite trip, and it makes my iPhone just a little more fun. Turn that Apple device into a Disney device right now with the great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks to everybody who continues to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. It's the easiest way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. It costs you absolutely nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits and more. Just the next time you're getting ready to do some online shopping, click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to episode 1332 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Thanks, as always, for checking in with us. We're going to answer your listener questions. Got some great ones queued up right here for you. But first, the whole crew is back. All three of us. Glad to have Pam back. And Ricky's always here. And hopefully, Opie doesn't cause any trouble. So, joining us today from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the mouse for less, not the cat for less. It's the mouse for less. Ricky, what's going on?
For those who don't know, Opie is my cat. So those who are listening have no idea what you're talking about, but that's okay. He's sitting here on my lap. but I wanted to send a huge shout out to Brian. For those who followed along with my adventures this weekend, I shared posts about how he was running this 56-mile race called the Cruel Jewel here in Atlanta, or the Atlanta area, I guess I should say. And he officially completed the race. I don't know how he did it. He's amazing. He did it in 24 hours and 10 minutes. So he's super incredible. And I have no words, honestly. No words at just his amazingness, because I couldn't do 56 miles.
She has no words. I have two. You're crazy.
It's not like it's a regular race. It was like a race. It was like a race hike hybrid, because it was up and down the hills of a mountain. So like, it wasn't like it was on flat surface the whole time either. Like, it was up and down a mountain. So kind of crazy.
Crazy.
Pam. She says kind of crazy. Like, she quantifies. That's all kinds of crazy is what I say. But anyway, also joining us.
It's all kinds of crazy, but I was trying to be nice.
Brian is awesome. I mean, that's a great accomplishment. So kudos to Brian. Also joining us, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, freshly returned from Walt Disney World, where she did a lot of learning and had a little bit of fun, or maybe vice versa. What's going on, Pam?
It was a lot of learning. It was a very valuable conference. It was very nice to be there. It was for earmarked travel agency owners, and Disney had us down there to chat about some things that will help us with our business and other things like that. So it was really valuable. They shared a lot of great information with us, which is not something that Disney's known for in that space, right? To share in a lot of information. But they were very generous with a lot of research and stuff that they've done with us. So we appreciated that. And just, it was nice being there. It's always nice getting together with people who kind of understand what you do. For the longest time, I mean, since we've been doing this for so long, I would go to some of these conferences, not just for Disney, but from other suppliers. And they would be like, you know, where do you work? And I'm like, well, here in my home office. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, oh, and they're like, well, where do you get guests? And what is the internet? And that might be why some of these travel agencies aren't around anymore.
Maybe. Because
They didn't know what the intranets were, right?
Uh-oh.
What do you mean Facebook? What is that? So anyway,
right?
So it, but it's kind of also neat to be part of people who have been, like, I've been to every single Earmark conference.
Wow.
There were a small group of us last time, and then this with the summit being that too. So it's all very interesting to be there. But we were just glad to be in attendance and glad to be partnered with Disney for sure. So
that's interesting, because I usually just stand up at Lindbergh and Lindsay Lane with my polo on, and that's how I get my clients. It's weird. You know, they just drive by.
That's how people find you.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you want to go to Disney? I'll talk to you about it. Let's come over here. Anyway, no.
Just put on your Mickey ears.
Exactly. That's
it. Stand on the street corner.
Exactly.
Start waiting. Yeah. Flipping signs around.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. I'm outside of Las Fuentes with like a margarita. That's a great idea. I'm doing that this weekend. Anyway,
yes. We'll expect to see your numbers next week looking really good.
That's right. And you know what? I'm going to make one of those cool Instagram videos where, like, you can, like, make it go forward and backwards with the sign.
There,
that's epic right there. That's viral. That's viral. It's a bounce. All right.
Yes.
Speaking of bounce, Doug's got a question.
And those are stuff. Look at this.
Hello.
That's what they teach you. Doug's got the first question. My daughter and I listen to y'all in the mornings on the way to school and enjoy the insight we receive. So 10 and 2 and have a good day. School's almost over, so enjoy that last few days. I'm planning a trip to the world in the end of November to enjoy Christmas at Disney before the crazy Christmas crowds. My question is about square footage of rooms. We plan to stay at a deluxe resort during our stay and want to pick the room with the largest square footage. The reason for this is we're a family of 5 now. Our children will be 6, 3, and almost 8 months at the time of travel, and we need space for all of us and a pack and play crib. Thanks for all your help, Doug. All right, so Pam, a lot of times we're talking about amenities, you know, and location and all those things. Yeah. Doug is just looking for maximum square footage at a deluxe resort. Besides, okay, so let's throw out the villas, because they're a whole nother beast, because you can get big time square footage there. Talking regular hotel rooms, what would you say is the biggest square footage per, like, standard type room?
So you're going to want to look at the legacy hotels, or the hotels that have been there the absolute longest. I will say that when I was there for the conference, I spent a few nights at the Contemporary in a tower view room, which, by the way, not to make anyone jelly here, but I could lay in my bed and see the castle. Lord, you're truly, 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 truly was laying in bed. I'm like, there's the castle. Kind of like that.
Nice.
I'm just going to say, you forget how fantastic a view that is until you have it again. In fact, no one can get you closer to the Magic Kingdom than the Contemporary Resort. And by the way, I'm mentioning all this because the Contemporary also has the largest standard rooms. Those rooms are humongous. Humongous. They really, truly are. They have 2 queen size beds, and also a, you can get them with a sofa bed that not pulls into a double bed, but like pulls down like a twin bed, sort of like they do on the cruise line, that sort of, that sofa kind of opens up like that for them. They have a bathroom that has 2 sinks, and it has sort of a separate area for that it has the toilet and things like that. But the rooms are just large, and they have this kind of faux mantle fireplace area that's great too. There's just something about those rooms. And I will say, even though those rooms have not been completely rehabbed, meaning like taken down to the studs and had a soft goods, you know, total change and stuff like that for a little bit, our room was in fantastic shape, like really and truly. It looks as good as it did soon after they redid that update. And it really fits with the hotel. And there is just something about that hotel that I love. First of all, the being able to walk over to the Magic Kingdom, being able to go down to the 4th floor and catch the monorail is fantastic. So if you're not only considering the tower, but also would consider the garden view rooms or the garden wing rooms, there's also some deluxe rooms there that are even larger than the standard rooms. So consider some of those options, see what you got. But I will just tell you that view. Oh, that view.
So lucky. So. I'd have just been looking at my Magic Band, but you're looking out at the castle. You know, so whatever.
I looked out at the castle.
Whatever. Yeah, you can't do one of these. Like, look at your Magic Band over your, or the castle over your Magic Band. I would also say, look at the Polynesian. Probably they have some larger rooms as well. And then somebody, Caroline, mentioned in the Facebook live chat, and we appreciate your comments. Keep them coming. Old Key West, if you're looking for large rooms, again, we said we're going to throw out the villas, but again, if you're looking for like bang for your buck, like, you know, dollar per square foot, Old Key West might be a consideration too. But of course, then you got more transportation issues than than otherwise.
True.
All right, next question is from Tracy. Hey, BOGP crew, my family and I are going to Disney World at the end of September this year, and I'm hoping to rope drop Hollywood Studios. We will be on the quick service dining plan, and I was wondering if you had any recommendations on counter service breakfast options at Hollywood Studios. I haven't been able to find many options. Okay, that's your first one. Ricky, I'm going to give... Man, I just laid this thing up for you. I just set it on a tee. I set the sucker on a tee because it's September. I could say it, but I'm not. I am giving it to you. Go for it.
Woody's Lunchbox. Done. Go to Woody's Lunchbox. Because really, that's about the only thing that is does serve breakfast for counter service, or will serve breakfast, I guess I should say. There are breakfast options, I think, sometimes on Sunset Boulevard. I know, like, one of the little restaurant kiosks that are along there oftentimes have a breakfast item or two. They kind of float from restaurant to restaurant, so different ones of those usually have an option. And then the only other option is the Starbucks, the Trolley Car Cafe, or... Yeah, so I think that that's the only other option. But of course, that's going to be super, super slammed because it's Starbucks coffee. So my suggestion is going to be head straight on back to Woody's Lunchbox.
Get your Pop-Tart, your fancy Pop-Tart.
Yes.
Or the other stuff.
No, s'mores, French toast.
Or that, yes.
Or whatever that's supposed to be.
Or, you know, one of each, one of each, and you split. You know, that's what you do. That's what we always do.
Whatever that s'mores thing is, that's what you want. Yes.
That, just give me that s'mores thing. That's what you say when you get to the window.
Or the the banana split yogurt, I think. Oh, that sounds really good, too.
You're trying to kill
me. Well, and I got to try the s'mores French toast thing.
Oh, how was it?
For us. It was very, very s'morey.
Is it good? Okay, that's fine.
Sweet. It was sweet. Like, I'm not a person who really likes sweet stuff in the morning, but everyone who did was like, fawning over it. They were like, this is so good. So anyways, it was yum.
If people weren't jelly, you're trying to just take them to the next level, Pam, with all this. Okay, you got a magic band, you're laying in bed looking at the Magic Kingdom, and you've had Woody's Lunchbox food. Okay, knock them out.
She's already had the s'mores. She's killing me.
And good old Chef Todd says the Men in Bills also has some breakfast items at certain times, so you can look there. And Caroline's talking about Hollywood and Vine for the Disney Junior characters, but she's looking counter service. But yeah, if you're going to splurge, do that. Tracy has a second question. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for those who don't know, Hollywood and Dine now has a new character. They've taken out they've taken out Handy Manny and added Goofy from Mickey's Roadster Racers. You can clearly see I don't have children, so I don't know the name of the show, but that Roadster Racers thing that they have going on.
And I don't think Handy Manny's been on TV since like Mallory was three, and she's going into fifth grade.
So they finally got rid of Handy Manny, and they've added Goofy dressed up in his green Racers outfit, so...
Good deal. All right, her second question Tracy has. Any tips for signing up my son for Jedi Training Academy? My husband has turned my four-year-old son into a huge Star Wars fan, and I think Jedi Training would be the highlight of our vacation. Thanks, Tracy. She says, P.S., my four-year-old son is also a fan of the show and frequently asks me to play the podcast in the car. So please give a shout-out to Andy. Andy, you are the man.
Andy!
That's it. Okay, so we got to tell Andy how it works. Anytime your parents try to listen to music, say, no. We won't listen to the Be Our Guest podcast. No, we don't. Can't listen to me. Ball game's on. Nope. Can't listen to the ball game. Be Our Guest podcast. Andy, I love your name. Like, you got to have you need a best friend named Buzz. When you get into school here, you got school in a couple years coming up. If there's a kid in your kindergarten class named Buzz, you guys are best friends for the rest of your life. Don't you agree? I mean, that's how it has to be.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Let's get to some of these live questions here because we got some here in the chat. So let me scroll down. Jacob has a question. Says, one night at the Dolphin next week, and I have one full day at the Magic Kingdom. We're traveling from the beach. So should we, it's multiple choice. So should we, one, drive straight to the park for rope drop and pay to park, or two, go to the Dolphin, check in, and take a bus over? We want to be there for as long as possible. We also plan on going back to the Dolphin in the afternoon. So we're going to take a midday break. Maximize their time. Pam, what would you do? Would you drive over, pay to park, or would you check in at the Dolphin, take a bus, and then go to the Magic Kingdom?
So I will say that taking the bus to the Magic Kingdom actually does save some time over parking and going. The Magic Kingdom in particular, because we all know that if you're going to park at the Magic Kingdom, you're not actually going to park like somewhere behind Space Mountain. You're actually parking way away at the TTC. You have to take either a monorail or a bus across the water, either a monorail or a boat to get to the Magic Kingdom from the Magic Kingdom parking lot. So when you take a bus right from the Swan and Dolphin, you'll be dropped off, of course, right at the bus station there at the Magic Kingdom, bypass the TTC and the time that it takes for you to do that. So it actually is a time-saving measure, and it can be a headache-saving measure, too. If you're trying to leave at the end of the night, there will be a backup for buses, but here's how you avoid them. It's easy peasy. Ready? Here's the secret. Just stay a little bit in the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Enjoy all the people funneling out. Watch the fireworks, then watch the kiss goodnight, then just sit there. Just sit there and people watch for about 20 minutes. Then you'll
grab
be able to walk
cream.
Right out. And
yeah, ice cream. Yeah.
Grab a snack. Yeah, for sure.
Or now that's the romantic answer there, Pam. That's the beautiful like planning video answer. Practically, if you want to get back, you walk to Contemporary and grab an Uber. I'm just saying that works too. You're tired. If you're like,
yeah, but even that would take a while.
Yeah,
too.
It takes a little bit. Yeah, well, I get antsy. All right, so the next question here. See here, it's from Jennifer Sheldon. Says, what do you recommend for mother-in-law who wants just to see the Magic Kingdom fireworks on her 90th birthday? She doesn't do rides, doesn't like the heat, doesn't like Mickey Mouse. No, just kidding. She didn't say that. And she's not a foodie. And we'd probably have wheelchair for her everywhere we go. Suggestions welcome, probably just for 3 nights. Thanks. So, mother-in-law wants just to see the 90th, or what am I saying? Mother-in-law is going to be 90. She really just wants to see those Magic Kingdom fireworks, doesn't like the heat, doesn't like the rides, probably doesn't like the crowds. She's not a foodie. I mean, okay, so Ricky, your grandma went, and she was elderly, but she had a great time. And
she
so,
was 94.
Suggestions. What would you say?
Well, my grandma is she was the best because she was pretty much up for anything. I mean, she loved the heat, so like that really wasn't a problem with us. So like the hotter it was in Florida, she was perfectly happy. So you know, I mean, the tips that I have is we took her on almost all the rides. You can take the wheelchair on to the rides. I mean, you know, that's perfectly acceptable. So I mean, my grandma actually had a really good time. You know, we were just there as a family and we made it as a family experience. So I think if you kind of go into it like that, hopefully grandma will be a little, or, you know, or the mother-in-law, right? Mother-in-law will be a little more open to things. Hopefully.
You know, and what I would say too is, you know, people call me a 90-year-old. Last night, Ricky, we ate dinner at Gingham's. Okay, so you know what Gingham's is in St. Charles, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the average age of the diner there is 85. After we took Mallory in the door, it was still 85. You know, I always say where the old people are is where the good food is. So that's how I roll. So anyway, I would say though, you know, if she doesn't want to do the rides, don't do the rides. Get her in a wheelchair. Let her people watch. You know, roll her around the hub, and you know, not during the busy time of the night. That's nuts. But you know, stroll down Main Street USA. Just roll through Adventureland at night, Tomorrowland, and just take it in. Get a great spot for the fireworks, and just give her treats. You know, little snacks, an ice cream cone. You know, a sundae. Yeah. You know, kind of those things. Pam, what would you say, though? I mean, because you really want to make it nostalgic, but I definitely, if she doesn't want to do rides, I wouldn't even bring them up. You know, because I think that just gets people turned off quickly, I think.
Well, so what's funny is we took Steve's grandma, too. And I think that the thing is, it's really hard for people of that age to kind of wrap their head around how Walt Disney World is different than your local amusement park. I mean, it's not Cedar Point. It's not going to be a roller coaster going 60 miles an hour, that whatever. Like, some of it are things that I think anyone would like, no matter how young or old they are. Think about Peter Pan. Think about Pirates of the Caribbean. Think about attractions like that. Those aren't even things. And like we used to say to Hannah when she was younger, try it once. If you don't like it, you don't ever have to ride it again. Of course, that was just until next year. But you know what I mean? I think it's things that you have to give it a try to actually see. If after trying, let's say Peter Pan, I mean, most people really fall in love with that. Or let's think about A Small World. Mm-hmm. That is one where she could absolutely stay in the wheelchair and just be wheeled on. So I think that probably plays into some of her decisions or some of her feelings about the resort right now and about the attractions. So I would encourage her to give a couple a try. I will also do one more suggestion, and that is, consider doing one of the fireworks dessert parties.
Yes.
They are absolutely worth it. It takes the hassle out of it. you get to be in, you know, an area that isn't super crowded, that you get to and you have a good view of the fireworks. The one that we recommend a lot to guests is the Rose Garden, the one where you're in the garden. Sorry, it's not called the Rose Garden anymore, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You have the desserts up at the Tomorrowland Terrace, and then you come down onto the lawn and watch the fireworks.
You have a beautiful view. Or there's a new
version. The after one, yeah.
Yes, where you have the fireworks first and then the dessert.
Right, so exactly. But I think for the price of that, I would pay it. I would pay it even without the desserts. And the reason why is if my husband is there, this is where he's going to want to be. And whatever it costs is worth our getting into that little location so that he doesn't have to sit there with the masses. And for some reason, the hub gets about 10 to 15 degrees hotter than the rest of the Magic Kingdom. Especially around fireworks time.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. There are times when I thought, oh my gosh, I think someone's going to go down. Someone's going to pass out here, though. It may have been Mike.
I pass out easily. And I'll say, you know, as they say in Pittsburgh, it gets close in the hub in July.
It does.
It gets very close.
The other suggestion that people are saying in the chat is also the shows. Definitely take her to the shows. I think that'll be a fantastic idea. And the thing that my grandma really loved, it was actually Carousel of Progress. I think that she would absolutely love Carousel of Progress. So.
And what about the train? The train's a great way because you can kind of see things.
Yeah,
it's a moving bench.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
The train's nostalgic. So.
Yeah, but I will say, Steve's grandmother actually loved everything. I mean, she loved
around
Seven Dwarfs, and she loved it. And she kept saying, she would sit there and she would say, I never thought I'd live to see a day where I got to do things like this. And it was just the sweetest thing, really and truly. She loved all of it. So, yeah, we had to help her get in and out of Seven Dwarfs. But
I think my grandma was hesitant at first, but once we started doing things together as a family and like that, she really started opening up to it a little bit. So,
hey, I need a lot of help getting out of Space Mountain nowadays. So just don't knock the 90-year-olds, man. I can barely get out of that thing anymore, and I love that thing. Anyway, all right, Seth's got the next question. It's a question about Disney gift cards and using them on vacation. Hi, Mike and crew. My family and I will be leaving for our annual week-long sojourn at Wilderness Lodge in less than 11 days. Yes, I have a question about using Disney gift cards in place of a credit card. Is there a way to, quote, load up our Disney account with gift cards so that we use these funds with our Magic Bands as opposed to our credit card? If so, how do I proceed in doing that? Is that something I do at check-in, or should I do it now? As I said, we leave in less than 11 days. Thanks so much and love the show. He's 1,082 miles from Pam, 457 from Ricky, 653 from me, and he's 633 miles from 901 Timberland Drive. Do you know where that is?
Yes, it's at the Wilderness
Lodge. That's exactly it. He put that. That's good. I was like, what? There's an address in here with a hyperlink. I'm like, what is he sending miles from there? I was like, oh, yeah, okay. thanks for all you do. He says, who dat go Saints? He's from Mandeville, Louisiana, Seth. All right, so Pam, I know you guys use the Disney gift cards, but what if you, I mean, is it even possible? Because I always just throw my credit card down, to be honest. I don't think about it. But is it possible to go credit cardless with a forward balance of loading money in, kind of like a debit system? I've never done that.
So what you'll want to do, and this is the easiest way to do it, in your My Disney Experience account, you're going to, of course, go ahead and enter your credit card information. If you don't have one, I suggest just going and getting one of those prepaid Visa ones or something like that. That's going to be the thing that works and makes your My Disney account work as flawless as possible. When you get to your Walt Disney World Resort, you'll go ahead. They will pre-authorize some of that credit sometimes. If you want to at that point in time, you can talk to the cast member about it. But what they typically say to you is, at the end of every night, not every night, you don't have to do it, every couple nights or even on checkout, come down and you can pay whatever is on. You charge the room with gift cards. It won't ever hit your credit card until after. Typically, you check out of the resort and you reach that threshold, that charging threshold, which they'll go over with you when you check in if you have questions about it. But think of your My Disney Experience account as the place that stores all the information, and your band is just used to access that information. They don't really want to preload your My Disney Experience account with gift cards, because what happens if you don't use them all? And then what happens if you got rid of it? Then they're in the situation where they're handing you back money or whatever. People always lose the gift cards, all that stuff. what you'll want to do is or do the steps that I said. And if you take those steps, then you'll catch it all before it hits your credit card at all. But it's easier just to put the credit card down right now for, you know, being the credit card that's listed on your account. That makes it easier.
All right. Good stuff. Sean's got a question. He says, first family trip to Disneyland next week. So I'm going to get this in. He's in our chat. We appreciate that so much. First time going to Disneyland, they're looking for any must-try restaurants, quick service, or sit-down. And I know both of you have gone, and I want to get your opinion. So, Ricky, what does Sean need not miss when it comes to dining? Just a couple ideas. We'll throw it out to Pam, too. I just want to get these to Sean because he's going next week.
Well, so I really enjoyed when we went the Wine Country Trattoria. We did the World of Color dining package, but I think World of Color isn't showing right now. So, but I still enjoyed that. That's a table service meal. We ate at Hungry Bear, which was also very good. I hear Jolly Holiday is phenomenal, so I would definitely suggest that. And of course, you've got Blue Bayou, which everybody talks about. And for a snack, I hear you really want to go to Bengal Barbecue. I thought about stopping there when we were there, and then I was like, I'm not super hungry right now, and then I never went back, and I regret that. So Bengal Barbecue has a lot of meat skewers and other kind of skewery things, so yes, Bengal Barbecue is definitely somewhere you want to stop as well for a good snack.
So what you're saying is Bengal Barbecue is like Ohana on a cart?
Kind of. Sure.
Hang on. I'm looking at plane tickets to Anaheim.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. Good. So, Pam, what do you think? Besides Club 33, when you don't go to Club 33, you know, you just want to be out there. Ah, I'm just going to get something regular. Okay. What do we get?
So, I will just say two words for Bengal Barbecue. I'm sorry. It's three. Bacon wrapped asparagus.
Yes.
Oh,
you had me. You had me on the first two words, bacon wrapped, and then you blew it on the asparagus. Ah,
no. So good. It's so good. And I will also suggest Cafe Orleans, where you can get those famous Mickey beignets. Yes. They are so good, and they typically have some kind of seasonal dipping sauce available, which is yum, or a seasonal flavor of the beignet. So, anyways, they're really, really good. So try for that location. I'm also going to give a shout out to Carthay Circle. It is a more expensive meal, but it is a really cool experience. They just did a great job with that. I tend to think that the counter service in Disneyland is a little better than the counter service at Walt Disney World. I know, yeah, right?
I've heard that.
It just is. It just is more interesting. Their churros are different at Disneyland. They're usually
because I don't like the Walt Disney World ones. Those are not very good.
They're hotter. All of that. That's a cool thing. They have great pickles. They are known for their corn dogs. Make sure you stop the cart and get yourself a corn dog.
But it's got to be the corn dog cart that's on Main Street. Yep. Not any other corn dog cart that's at Disneyland. Don't stop at just a random corn dog cart. It's got to be the one on Main Street.
No, get that one. So that's great. And there are also some random great quick service locations around. I haven't found something that we didn't really like at Disneyland. We've eaten at just about everything out there. Another shout out I want to give to the Hungry Bear one, because they had a fantastic fried green tomato sandwich. It was so good. So anyway, I know, right?
All right, Brian, we need to go back to Disney. I know you're listening. We need to go back to Disney. Yes.
So John Wayne Airport.
Fall, so I'm going to text you date. So you know.
All right. Okay, cool.
So wait, I'm looking. So John Wayne Airport's cool, right? I can fly into John Wayne and get there.
Yes.
Okay, I'm there tomorrow. All right, good.
No, yeah, you're good.
All right. Okay. So Tracy in the chat has a great question. Because of how our ADRs went last week, we will be doing Animal Kingdom in the morning and Hollywood Studios in the afternoon on our Disney trip in November. How should I go about fast passes? So an Animal Kingdom in the morning, Hollywood Studios in the evening. I would just say, you know, especially if Pandora is important, you load them up into Animal Kingdom and then just take your chances over at the studios. But again, this is that going to be in November. You got Toy Story Land. Ricky, what would you do if you're in that spot?
Honestly, I think she's asking the question just a little bit too early. I think we need to see kind of how things go with Toy Story Land to see how the wait times start stacking up over there. So I think right now I might say Pandora first and then, get those set up and then do Hollywood Studios. But it could change. I might say to do, you know, the as early as you can at Pandora and then have your fast passes for Hollywood Studios. It's really just going to depend on how things start stacking up once the attractions actually start opening.
All righty. I've always wanted to say this. We have a question from Mickey. Yes, finally, we got a question from Mickey. Says, good morning. My question, my girlfriends and I are planning a week-long trip to Disney World next April, centered around the Star Wars Dark Side, oops, Star Wars Rival Run weekend. That's hard to say. It's the first time I've said it out loud. I've read it a bunch of times, but the Star Wars Rival Run weekend, it makes you want to Elmer Fudd it at the end there, kind of. Yeah. Rival Run weekend. Anyway, I'm a planner, which I love doing, she says. We have our hotel and airfare now, and I'll be getting our tickets such that we can make our FastPass selections at the 60-day mark. I hold the reservation for our room, and the Magic Bands will be linked to my account. On the My Disney Experience app, I have my girlfriends linked as friends as well, and I'll be able to make FastPass selections for all of us or whomever wants to go ride together. Can the girlfriends also link their Magic Bands to their own individual My Disney Experience account? Yes. Are we able to also have it where each girlfriend can make a selection for themselves as well? Yes. Example, Magic Kingdom. I make a fast pass for all four of us for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. One selection done. Now, can each of my girlfriends make their own selection for the other two fast passes on their own account? Yes, right? Am I missing it? You can do that, right? Yeah. Okay, so I thought. I'm like, am I missing something? Am I being tricked here? Anyway, so yeah. So just hope that makes sense. Thank you from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Mickey, and she says, yep, that's my real name. So there you
love
go.
Love it.
That's Mickey's awesome. Real name. All right, so next question coming from the chat. It is from Cheryl, always here in the chat with us. Question, we've been to Disney many, many times, but haven't been to Universal in ages. Notice I'm going here. We're planning a trip in late August, staying off property and doing 2 days at Disney and 2 days at Universal. Can I connect my two-day Disney tickets to Magic Bands we got in September? Yes, right?
Yes. Yes.
Are these questions like too easy tonight? Am I being punked?
Yes,
I'm like,
what?
I am totally second guessing myself.
The whole thing is that not everybody knows these things like we do because we
right.
Okay.
Work with it all
I'm
the time.
Just worried.
So, yes.
Sometimes I get very nervous when I have the answer
know,
like too easy.
I know when you
easy.
Have an answer that comes to you just like that and you're like, wait.
Because
yes,
I'm always
yes.
second guessing myself. Well, that's the story of my. It's like my subheading of my life. Anyway, let's see. Jennifer's got a question here. Hi, gang. We are going to Walt Disney World at the beginning of June. It looks like Toy Story Mania will be open during our stay, but have not. Toy Story Mania. Okay, I'm so Toy Story Land focused. Okay, yeah, Toy Story Mania will be open during our stay, but not have FastPass available. Is that correct? Toy Story Mania is a must-do for our family. Another must-do is the Jedi Training Academy. So we are thinking to rope drop Hollywood Studios, then get in line to sign up for Jedi Training Academy, then go straight over to Toy Story Mania. What would you suggest? Thanks for your time. Jennifer. All right, Pam, what would you do? I'd definitely do sign up for Jedi Training first, right?
Yes, you have to. Just to make sure that you have the most flexibility in terms of time, the most availability in terms of time, I would absolutely do Jedi Training Academy first. It's a get in there and go there type of thing. So,
and what's the story, Ricky, with the Toy Story Mania FastPass situation?
So, due to all the construction that is happening to transfer the attractions entrance from the Pixar Play side over to the Toy Story Land side, they've been doing some refurbishment work on the inside of the queue to kind of finagle that so that it goes the opposite direction. So with that being said, because of that, the queue has been adjusted so that they only have one queue open at a time, basically. So right now they are only having one queue open for guests, which means that they can't offer a fast pass. So because of that, they're not offering fast pass during select times. It will open back up, and I don't know the date offhand. It will open back up to fast pass where they do allow fast pass guests in the, I think it's in the middle of June, somewhere around there, like the 18th or something like that, if I remember offhand. So the fast pass will open back up. The rest of the queue will open back up at that time too. That will, and you'll still enter on the Pixar Place side. That is until they open up Toy Story Land. So the The 30th is when they'll make the switch of, okay, you can't enter this way anymore. You have to enter from Toy Story Land. So that kind of gets everybody caught up in a nutshell.
Okay, so
it's
so,
very confusing in a way, but yeah.
And the other queue was sort of was open. We were actually going in through the to the left of where you used to come in before, and coming in, getting on the attraction actually where you used to get off the attraction.
That is interesting. Yeah. All right.
So cool. dumb question. And I'm second guessing myself, but where is the grand entrance to Toy Story Land? Is it like where you walk past Toy Story and it's to the right, kind of where the Backlot Express used to be?
It's before Backlot, Toy right? Story.
Oh, it's before.
It's so right it's between next to like where
Captain Jack used to be.
Yes. That's what I thought. Do you remember where the Captain Jack show was? Yep. Where it is.
Nice. Yeah. So they... Would they take out those bathrooms right there? Or are they still there? Those are nice bathrooms.
No, the bathrooms are still there.
It's not very big through there, is it? That's kind of skinny.
There's a big space.
There's
no,
a big
it's
space.
Yeah, it is.
See, I don't want to be spoiled. I just spoiled everybody. Now you know how to get in. I spoiled myself. Anyway.
Well, I don't think that people are going to know. They're not going to keep how to get in a secret.
I don't think that's a big spoiler. So
that was for me. Anyway. Yeah. All right, Jonathan Wells has a question for us. Says Disney trip to November, daddy-daughter date. I like this. Hi, Mike and ladies of the VOGP. For this upcoming trip in November, it's going to be my wife, our daughter, and another family of four. Now, it's going to be my daughter and I with the other family of four. My wife needs to stay home for work and to spend some time with her mom. So my question is, where would y'all recommend for my daughter and I eat for a daddy-daughter date and maybe a fun show to see just the two of us? She's 12 and most of the time open to trying new things, but she mostly likes things with cheese and chicken in the title of the meal. She's going with Paige. Our trip is November 3rd to the 10th, so we are counting down the days. Thanks in advance for any help in making our trip more magical. JD is down in the Woodlands, Houston, Texas area. So a daddy-daughter date. Pam, what would you say? I mean, again, they're going to be there when their Christmas decorations are starting to come out at the beginning of November. That could be something you might do. But, you know, maybe dinner and a show. You know, what would you suggest for JD in this situation?
So I think, you know, Disney has just very few options in terms of a dinner show, and that would be Hoop-Dee-Doo and the Aloha one, and maybe Mickey's Barbecue are some options with that. If I were going to choose one of those, I would be choosing Hoop-Dee-Doo for sure, especially with her particular taste. I mean, hello, fried chicken. It's there, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
But if you don't really want to go see the Hoop-Dee-Doo show, because you mentioned stuff with chicken and cheese in the title, there's also Trail's End, which is over there, which serves the delicious fried chicken from the Hoop-Dee-Doo at the buffet, but also has a killer macaroni and cheese.
Yes. Oh,
and I will give one of our favorite locations a shout out for a killer macaroni and cheese, and that's at Homecoming at Disney Springs. Maybe a meal and some shopping is exactly what your 12-year-old is looking for as well. That would be a cool night too. But Homecoming has one of the best macaroni and cheeses that I've ever had. It's just so good. So that's something to think of too.
Also, what I would say too is a date doesn't have to be like, you know, just sitting down and eat. I know he's at a show, but what about like doing the going over to Fort Wilderness and before you have the dinner, doing something like horseback riding? Or remember we did that that wagon ride? That wagon ride was super cheap and it was fun. You know, and that'd be something kind of
for sure.
It's a cool place. But yeah, Trails Inn, if you like chicken and mac and cheese, boom. I mean, you cannot beat it. And it's a cheap date. I'm just saying. Okay.
It's definitely inexpensive.
Just saying, JD. You feel me, right? You feel me. You know, she's going to be expensive. Trust me. She's 12. She's got a lot. She's going to spend a lot of your money for the next year. Save it on that dinner. All right. I love it. That's the last question of the day. Going to the chat room. Taylor says, question. My husband and I are traveling to Disney in September of 2019 with another couple who have never been to Disney. Where would y'all suggest we stay under $400 a night, where we'll have the most space and privacy as we will be splitting a room? Also, which dinner show would you suggest, Spirit of Aloha or Hoop-Dee-Doo Review? Ooh, that's a good one. I've done both, but our first-timer friends never have. Okay, so real quick, we'll answer where they got to stay second. You got to pick one. Spirit of Aloha, Hoop-Dee-Doo. I'm Hoop-Dee-Doo. Ricky?
Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Pam?
Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Carries it. Okay, there we go. So we got that question knocked out. That's very rare that we all give the same answer. Even though Spirit of Aloha is not bad. I do like Spirit of Aloha, but I'd say Hoop-Dee-Doo. So Pam, looking $400 a night, they're splitting a room. I might think of something like an Old Key West. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things you want to think about is when you're looking for inexpensive, not only look at the rack rate, and it's important to be comfortable with the rack rate at the resort that you're staying at, but also take into consideration that there, if there are specials, if there are discounts on the room, things in the deluxe category or the deluxe villa category are always going to have a higher discount, which can really bring the price of that room down. So where values may have a discount of 5-10%, those deluxe and deluxe villa accommodations are going to have 25 or so like that. So that's really something you want to consider. And then make sure that you're looking at not only the price, but also the space that's available. You know, we had another listener early on in the show that talked about the largest accommodations, and that's something to consider too. The Contemporary has those garden wing views available. Those can be one of the lesser expensive of the larger hotels, so think about that too.
All right, bonus question, only because Nicola's tuned in from Australia. You know what? And I mean, you have kangaroos. So that means you automatically get your question before the show ends. So question, yeah. And Ricky, no, this is like this again, I'm setting it up on Ricky's tee. She probably doesn't know this one, but this is as they say, in her lane. This is in your lane, Ricky, so be ready.
Got it.
It says, good morning from Sydney, Australia. Well, it's dinner time here. My tummy's a little rumbly. Has the Highway in the Sky Dine Around been canceled? I can't book past August. So Ricky, what's the story? Is it because the monorails are breaking or what?
Oh, no. So it has not been canceled as far as we know. Basically, sometimes takes Disney a little while for these dessert parties and dining experiences like this to get loaded into the system. So there's often a delay in that. It is not at the 180-day mark. It is sometimes at the 90-day mark, sometimes at the 60-day mark. It just sort of seems to... like, there doesn't really seem to be any kind of pattern behind it. But I can guarantee you it has not been canceled. It's just they haven't loaded
it. I'm doing it this summer.
Are you? That's awesome. So, yeah, they just haven't loaded the new dates into the system yet. And they will hopefully soon, but we really don't have any idea on when they're going to do that. So just kind of keep your eye out and ear to the ground, I guess I should say.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's question. I have an announcement, though. Tune in here, especially those that run, because our good friend Joseph Fickus from over in the UK wants to remind everybody, we did this last year and it was super successful. It was a great team building activity for all those folks that listen to the podcast. You don't have to be a Be Our Guest podcast lizard, even though this, you should perk your ears up if you're a lizard, or I guess your tail, or whatever it would be. I don't know. But if you're not, this is a great opportunity just to get together. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a social media thing. We did our first annual Lizard Fun Run last summer, kind of to tie in with Give Kids the World. Everybody posted on social media, and everybody kind of got out and ran at the same time, you know, even if you were on another part of the planet. So, like, you know, we just had, I forgot the name already. So, from Australia, Nicola was just talking about how she's in Australia. We'd have to kind of sync that up. But, like, you know, Joseph's over in the UK. I'm in the center of Missouri, you know, in the center of the United States. We're all going to run at the same time. So, here's the date, Saturday, June 2nd, because it's coming up quickly. Saturday, June 2nd, between 9 and 11 Eastern Daylight Time. We're all going to try to get out there and just, you know, go for a walk. You know, walk 1 mile, post it to social media. We'll hashtag it. We'll come up with a hashtag. I'll announce that next week. But we're going to have a good time just all getting out there and getting active and kind of building team camaraderie for the lizards and just for the podcast in general. Again, here's what we're looking forward to. We've got the 12-hour show, the annual 12-hour show to benefit Give Kids the World. It's coming up. It's summertime. This weekend is Memorial Day, so it's kickoff to summer. We have already been at work on the 12-hour live show. Don't worry. We're thinking about it. We're getting it ready. The date is going to be announced soon.
We're already at work on it for once.
It's going to be amazing this year. But here's what I want you to do, because I was looking at our – first of all, if you're a Be Our Guest podcast listener, just drop by the Facebook group because all the details are there. If you don't frequent it, just drop by this week. Check it out. Joe will have all the details there, so just pick that up. But also, I was looking, we have over 1,400 Be Our Guest podcast lizards in the group itself. I mean, that's not that's excluding people that are kind of, you know, just passively, you know, doing this with us. So if you could, you know, we know the 12-hour live show is coming up soon. So if you could just put away, you know, 10, 25 bucks, 50 bucks to donate on that Saturday or Sunday, whatever day we do it, we're going to announce the date soon. Just put that away because we have enough time now that you could, you know, maybe have the kids do some chores to earn a little extra money to donate to the great folks that Give Kids the World. we could really, really blow it out of the water this year. You know, with 1,400 folks on the Lizards and we have so many listeners all over the world, I really want to set the bar high and make some serious magic this year. I mean, I'm talking serious magic. So we have plenty of time. So put away some money. You know what's coming up. We're going to have great guests, great auction items. We're going to do everything we can to make this awesome for you because we want to make it awesome for the families that give Kids World. So that's coming up very soon. But Joe wants to remind everybody, June 2nd, 9 to 11 Eastern, lace up the sneakers, Pam. Get those sneakers on, Ricky. You don't have to go 56 miles now. We're not talking like this isn't a 24-hour and 10-minute kind of endurance thing. We want you to still be alive at the end of the thing.
I see.
But, just do a mile or 12 or whatever you want. So Joe wanted to get that out there, so I want to get that out there for him. All right, so that's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget today's show brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, quick 30-second hit. What are we reading about on the app this week?
So we are reading about the fact that Wine Bar George is now officially open. Finally, it is brought to life by Master Sommelier George Miliotis. Wine Bar George features wines from acclaimed wineries as well as up-and-coming wineries. The location will offer an unparalleled wine list, including more than 130 selections by the ounce, glass, and bottle. They also offer small plates, so if you don't maybe drink but you want something to eat, they have options there. There's also the Basket at Wine Bar George, which is a quick service window that offers European style sandwiches, cheese, olives, hummus, charcuterie, cookies, and wines on tap served to go by the glass or carafe. So I guess you can take your food and go on a picnic. I don't really know where you're going on a picnic at Disney Springs, but okay, there's that.
No, you take it. You go over to Saratoga Springs. There's a lot of places you could picnic over there, probably. I mean, there's a lot of open ground.
Take it over to Saratoga. Yeah, I mean, they do have some comfy couches at Disney Springs you could go sit on in some places. I don't know. I don't know where you're going for a picnic lunch, but...
Who knows?
It's an idea.
Yeah, well, Walt Disney's all about imagination. So there you go. Have an imaginary blanket and an imaginary picnic. So anyway, read about these great stories over on Theme Park News Disney Edition. Great, awesome free app over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget to support the show with your Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We appreciate that so much. Catch us out or check us out, whatever it is, on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. Please follow both. And thank you so much for the support of our Facebook group. We just passed 7,000 members on the Facebook group this week.
That's
a lot. I was thinking about that in regards to like Busch Stadium. That's like 1/6 of Busch Stadium being full on a sellout day. That's ridiculous. So thank you for that. That's crazy. Or that's a typical Miami Marlins game. You know, that's like bobblehead night. Anyway, sorry, Hotchberg. All right, anyway, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday with kind of it's going to be a fun show. And if you're a Disney resort person, you're going to want to be here. And if you're tuned in live right now, you need to hang out because we're going to need your help on this one. It's going to be fun. We haven't done one like this before, so check back in on Friday. It might make your next Disney vacation that much
better.
Maybe
the last time we do one like this.
It probably will be. That's a good thing about 1300. We never give up. We just keep going. If we have a bad show, we don't stop. We just keep going. Anyway, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.